You're listening to the Vance Pittman Leadership Podcast. This is a conversation all about leadership, vision, and joining in God's activity wherever you are. You can follow along with today's episode using the show notes at hopechurchonline.com/podcast or on your favorite podcasting app. Thanks again for tuning in today. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Well, welcome to another episode of the Vance Pittman Leadership Podcast. My name is Scott Worthington. I have the privilege of leading alongside Pastor Vance here at Hope Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. Super, super honored that you would take some time wherever you are right now listening to this podcast. We know we got people listening at work, listening as a drive, listening maybe as you're sitting folding some laundry or at the gym. And so thanks for taking the next 30 minutes or so and checking out this podcast. If you didn't know about us, if you came across this somehow on social media or something, we have a lot of episodes we'd love for you to check out. And you could always rate and review our podcast. It actually helps get the word out, which is super, super helpful. Also, if you didn't know, the namesake of this podcast, Pastor Vance, has a book. He released a book in January, and it's been incredible just to see, even through all the craziness of COVID-19, just people reading the book. And so if you haven't gotten that book, go ahead and jump on Amazon and get unburdened. Vance Pittman's very first book. So housekeeping's over. He's looking at me wondering if this is the Scott Worthington podcast. It is not. I am here with the one, the only, Vance Pittman. Vance, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing well, Scott. It is starting to really heat up here in Las Vegas. Just before we jumped on here to record, you and I were talking about working out, and you were talking about today you're going to do a lot of running and how hot it's going to be out there running. So it's starting to heat up. This won't release until 1st of August is when this podcast will release. We're recording it now a little earlier than usual, just because I'm about to try to just get away for a couple weeks of all that's been going on, like you mentioned, with COVID and all that's happening in our country with some of the tensions. Man, this has been a really challenging time to be in leadership. And so for you that are listening to this, I know that a lot of you are leading right now in what could arguably be the most difficult season of leadership you've ever been in. And I just want to encourage you to make sure you take some time to pull away as a leader. You can't lead if you're not filled. You got to be filled, and you can't be running on empty. And so it's important, even in the midst of what's going on, that you make sure to do some your own soul care and make sure you're healthy as you lead. And I'm about to do some of that myself, because I just feel it in my own heart that I need that. I'm really at a point where I need some of that personally. So that's where I'm living, Scott. Looking forward to what we're going to talk about today.
So today's podcast, man, I remember, Vance, we were traveling in the beautiful, wonderful state of Arkansas. We were talking about just kind of where we're headed with the podcast. And I remember this one specifically kind of stood out as one we've been talking about for a very long time. We live in a very connected world, more connected than ever. Today, we're talking about something that probably, if you're listening to this podcast, you are involved in, connected in. And I'm really, really excited about what we're talking about today, because it really affects everybody listening, even if you are one of the unique ones that have not tuned in or connected. Vance, what are we talking about today? The title of the episode kind of gave it away, but what are we talking about today?
Man, today we're going to talk about social media. It's one of those things that we're all having to deal with, especially in leadership at some level, and we're going to kind of begin to address it. You know, social media, there's a ton of stats. I'll give you a few here out of the gate, just to try to kind of set the context, and you can kind of jot these down or just pause and go back and listen to them again. I'm going to go through them kind of quick. But, you know, 63% of teenagers say they use social media every day, and then 45% of them say they're on the internet almost constantly. And of teens that use social media, it's said to have been correlated with depression, anxiety, worsening self-esteem, loneliness, and all of that. And we can almost begin to think that social media is this thing that teenagers are involved in, but it's much bigger than just the world of teenagers. For example, there was a study done in 2005 by the American Psychological Association that said in 2005, 5% of U.S. adults were on social media. In 2019, that same study revealed 70% of U.S. adults are now on social media. When you look at the world, 3.8 billion people in the world use social media. And on average, they spend just over 3 hours per day. So when you're talking about social media, you're talking about something that affects everybody. But particularly in leadership, we have to navigate these unique waters of social media and deal with it.
Yeah, so a little known fact. I remember when Instagram was kind of first coming out. Vance is looking at me right now because he knows where I'm going. And I remember Vance talking about, man, I don't need an Instagram. What is this Instagram stuff? And if you follow Vance Pittman on Instagram, if you don't, go give him a follow. He's a good follow. But, man, that dude loves his Instagram. So I'm glad you finally joined the party, Vance, and you are on Instagram. He's been honestly on
Yes,
on
Scott for has discipled years. Me in many ways, and one of them is with the usage of social media, for sure.
But that's what we're talking about today. We, we always try to be very practical on the Vance Pittman Leadership Podcast. If you're a listener, sometimes, we'll dive deep into a passage of Scripture. We've been talking about Proverbs the last couple of months, but as Vance and I are kind of talking this out today, I hope you hear, we understand you're on social media for practical reasons, to stay connected, to network, to see what your friends ate for dinner, what their kids are doing, whatever it might be. And so we wanted to take the practicality of social media and apply that to a leadership podcast, as we have wisdom with social media. So we're always trying to be practical, but you'll see the point of today's podcast is to be really as practical as possible. If you could say it like this, these are going to kind of be some life hacks for using social media. We all are in it. Here are some tips and tricks that we've used in our lives and we've seen other people use that are helpful as we all navigate this together. So the goal of today is to be really, really practical.
And Scott, as we do this too, I just want the listeners to understand this is not a beat up on social media day, mm-hmm. because what we understand is that social media is simply a tool. That's what it is. It's not good or bad. It's just a tool. And a tool can be used in a very profound way. But a tool can also be a dangerous weapon in the wrong hands. For example, take a hammer. My wife, those that know me well know my wife uses the hammer more than I do. My wife loves to build things out of wood. She's a woodworker and enjoys doing that. But you can take the tool of a hammer and you can use it to build something that's amazing, that's beautiful, that's useful, that's helpful, that's beneficial. But you can also take the tool of a hammer and put it in the wrong hands, and that tool that was very useful and productive now becomes a dangerous weapon to harm, to tear down, and to destroy. And the reality is, Scott, we have an enemy in this world. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 that we have this enemy, this adversary, and he's seeking someone to devour. Jesus talked about our enemy as that one that is wanting to steal, to kill, and destroy. And social media as a tool with the kind of boundaries that we're going to talk about today can be profitable and beneficial. In my own life, I'm thankful for it. Pastoring a larger church, I'm able to stay in contact and keep up with a lot of people in our church that I would never probably even know who they are. But for social media, I get to see what's going on in their lives. But I also know in my own life, without boundaries and safeguards, it can be a dangerous weapon. I read an article on Forbes.com that said, the more we use social media, the less happy we seem to be. And so we just have to approach this, like you talked about, with some really practical handles and tools. And that's what we want to do. So let's do it.
Yeah. So how we're going to kind of divide this episode up is we're going to look at this whole subject from two sides. The first side is going to be tips on how to use the tool. Just some wise tips on being careful with social media. And then secondly, we're going to look specifically at time. We're going to look at tips for how to manage time with the tool. Vance said the stat earlier. I don't know if you're on the lower end of the 3 hours or the higher end of the 3 hours, but on average, people spend 3 hours a day on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is for you. TikTok is the new one. Vance, I don't know if there's ever going to be a day. Right now you're shaking your head, but you would have said the same thing about Instagram. TikTok is the new, obviously, all the rage with kind of the Gen Z generation. But that's where we're kind of headed. How to use the tool and how to manage time with the tool. So let's jump in to part one, Vance. How to use the tool. Give us some tips.
Yeah, if you've been following us the last couple of episodes, we've been living out of the book of Proverbs and looking at wisdom from Proverbs. There's a proverb that we actually referenced in the last episode, I think it was, out of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, that said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the reality is, if that proverb was being written today in the world that we live in, the writer of Proverbs might have said, death and life are in the power of the post. Because there is this thing of social media and posting can be such a dangerous thing. I mean, it can be death, it can be life. They're in the power of the post. And so I want to give our listeners four wise tips for being careful when using social media, when posting in particular on social media. So I'm just going to run these down. Here's the first one. Check your heart before you start. And that really addresses the issue of motivation. Why am I about to post this? Why am I about? Is this in response to something? Is this trying to get a point across? Is this attacking someone? Is this responding to criticism? What is the motivation? Check your heart before you start. And here's a great scriptural filter to use. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is writing about kind of what's off with the old and on with the new. As we take off the old man and put on the new man in Christ. And in the context of that, listen to what Paul says about our words. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Let me just say, if we took only that phrase, it would radically bring revival to social media. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your social media account, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Is what I'm doing on social media giving grace to those who are hearing it? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Did you hear those words? Paul says bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander should be put away. If my motivation in posting is bitterness, it's anger, it's wrath, it's clamor, it's slander, if it's malice, that should not be a part of why I'm involved in social media. Then Paul went on to give us the other side of the coin. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you. So number one, check your heart before you start. Number two, pray before you post. Paul teaches us in 1 Thessalonians 5 to pray without ceasing. And it's not talking about on our knees 24/7 in prayer, but it is talking about constant conversation. And part of praying is listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. And so before you hit send on that post, before you hit enter, just breathe a word of prayer. Just have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Is this what you, God, want me to do? Is this acceptable to you? So check your heart before you start. Pray before you post. Here's number three. Make sure someone you trust has read it before you spread it. If you're about to post something that's a little bit questionable, the writer of Proverbs says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. I've taken the practice of before I put something out on Twitter, Instagram. Now, if you're posting what you're eating for dinner, that's not what I'm talking about. But if you're about to speak to an issue that's current in society, or about to address another brother or sister in Christ or another person for that matter, before I post it, I'll text it to a couple of buddies and just say, hey, man, how does this sound? How does this come across? Because sometimes without even intending to, what you write, you hear it one way, but somebody else reading it reads it another way. So just make sure someone has read it before you spread it. And then number four, when in doubt, don't. When in doubt, don't. I follow this principle in my own heart of the peace of the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't believe you can have peace from God and a check in your spirit at the same time. And every time I've walked past a check in my spirit, particularly as it applies to social media, I've lived to regret it. So here's some tips for how to use it. Check your heart before you start. Pray before you post. Make sure someone you trust has read it before you spread it. And then when in doubt, don't.
Yeah, that's really good stuff. And you may be hearing that, and you may be thinking of some certain posts you've seen on social media lately that maybe didn't follow those things. But maybe you're also thinking, man, that sounds a little intense, but we want you to hear, no, that's wisdom. That's you potentially. Again, there's a certain kind of, we were just talking before we start Advance, but there's this certain kind of courage that happens behind the keyboard that isn't real. Like if somebody was in the room, you would
Absolutely.
Not say what you said on their comment feed. And there's a certain boldness that people have behind their computer screen. And so this is really, really helpful. So check your heart before you start. Pray before you post. Make sure someone has read it. Before you spread it, and when in doubt, don't.
And Scott, even I love the illustration you just gave. If there was a group of people here in the room with us and somebody said something, and even if you did want to say what you said in the comment section of a post, you wouldn't say it out loud to the whole group. Most of the time, you'd pull that person aside and you'd talk to them privately to address that situation. So I just think, and I know, again, you said it, some people may hear this and think it's a little hardcore, but the reality is the world is watching. Mm. And I think one of the great damages to the reputation and testimony of the body of Christ in contemporary society is the lack of filter when it comes to social media. You can look at believers' social media, and it looks just like that of the world, and it shouldn't. We should live and look differently because of Christ in us, and that should be reflected in the way we deal with social media.
Dang. Rewind about 15 seconds and hit that one more time, and we will move on. Part two, how to manage time with the tool. This is a big deal. We already said it in the stats. We spend a lot of time, particularly on our phones, maybe some on the computer at work or whatever, but a lot of time with the computer that is in every single one of our pockets with an easy flip open. You can go on Instagram. You can go on Twitter. You can go on Facebook. So now we want to kind of transition and talk about how as leaders, because as leaders, we want to be on social media. We want to be, I mean, if you follow Vance, he has a following on social media, and it's really cool to see him interacting with those people on Twitter and on Instagram. But there's some wisdom to be used when managing time with the tool. So that's what we're going to talk about for the remainder of the episode.
So the first tip we want to give you is real simple. It's just to set time limits. And I know that sounds simplistic, but it's really easy to do as well, practically. A couple of years ago, on one of the systems that operating systems that Apple released on the iPhone, they gave screen time limitation capabilities, where you can actually go into the screen time section under your preferences, and you can go in there and you can set time limits for individual apps. You can set time limits for different social media platforms. And you can even passcode those. And so when I realized that, because I found myself, Scott, I would just be sitting around. I'd pick up when I'm not doing anything, I'd pick up my phone. I'd find myself scrolling through social media and then go, why am I doing this? Like it became more of a natural reaction. And I didn't realize the volume of time that I was spending on it. And often it happened in response to a notification that somebody had mentioned you or referenced you in something. And so two things that I did in response to that. One is I went into that screen time notifications, and I have now set time limits for all of my activity online, particularly my social media accounts. And here's the part of that that's important. I had my wife enter the 4-digit code into that. So I don't know it, because if I set that, here's what I do. I just enter the code and blow right past it. My wife has the code, and so if I exceed that time limit, I have got to go before the judge and jury of my wife and explain myself as to why I need more access on this particular day. The second thing I did is I turned off all notifications on social media. So I don't get any ding, any notification at all on the banner, as a buzz, or anything. I get them for text. I get them for email. But I do not get them for any social media. So I'm not being driven by social media. I'm driving the train as it comes to time. So set some time limits as it pertains to social media. And that's two little ways that you can do that.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I did the same thing with my wife and my time limits. I have 30 minutes a day on social media, and it goes quick. If you're listening to this and you're going, I don't need to set a time limit, I don't probably spend that much time. If you've never checked out the Screen Time app on your phone, you can actually just go on and kind of run a diagnostic and see how much time. I, for one, was extremely humbled and surprised by how much I actually was on social media. And so maybe you've never done that. That could be kind of a litmus test if you're thinking, I don't spend that much time on it. Mine was in the multiple hours, which is really embarrassing to admit on a podcast. But set time limits. It's wisdom. And we're going to get into some more practical things about time. But the notifications thing is huge as well. Like not being driven by social media, but driving it. When you pick up your phone, you're not going because somebody, you got a ding that said, oh, somebody mentioned you, because the reality is our heart wants that, right? I mean, our heart loves to say, oh, I wonder what people said about me. I got a little number two, a red number two, or a red number three. And so that means three things happen. And there's a lot of psychological things that have actually been done, studies that show that there's that little three pops up and it literally does something in your brain to make you go, oh, I got to know what that is. So turn notifications, these are just kind of little hacks that are really going to help with managing time with the tool. So number one, set time limits.
Yeah, and Scott, you mentioned it, but going into that, I encourage you to go, if somebody that's on a smartphone, go into that screen time and just do what Scott said, just evaluate, because it gives you the opportunity. You can go in there, you can see what apps you spend the most time on. You can actually look at it. It'll tell you which app, when you pick your phone up, where do you go first? What is the first app that you go to? And you can learn from that what's driving your technology use, what's driving you there. So there's some great filters that are available. Get a buddy, a friend, a spouse to be able to set those time limits and put those codes on it. It's just been super, super helpful for me. The second wise tip is to just turn it off, to have some moments of Sabbath. And for me, the way I've practiced this historically in my life has been during different seasons. For example, I said a moment ago, about to go on vacation for a couple of weeks. And so I will make an announcement on social media. Hey, I'm about to be off for the next 2 weeks, and I will not be on social media for 2 weeks, just to give myself a break. But Scott, one of the things I've learned watching you that's been great is you have a rhythm of this in your weekly rotation that I'd love for you to share. I want the listeners to hear, to learn how you've implemented this practice in your life.
Yeah, I have done the same thing as you just said, Vance. And honestly, the idea of Sabbath has been something I've read several books on recently and have really wanted to try to get in a rhythm of my own life, just a weekly Sabbath where I just kind of unplug from the day to day and spend time with my family and just be very present to God, to my family. And it started off with, like, I just won't use my phone. I'll just put my phone in my bedroom. And you know, I need it on because honestly, turning it off was like terrifying to me. I need it on just in case of emergencies. You know, you have all these things in your head that go, I can't turn it off. But I was just challenged, like, why not? And so I obviously put some things in place where, you know, Travis and Vance know that if there's an emergency that I got to be a part of at Ministry at Hope, they can call my wife or text my wife. And that's happened a couple of times, but, I started doing a legit digital Sabbath. And so Thursday nights, I turn my phone off. And I don't turn it on until after I've spent time with the Lord on Saturday mornings. And even then, it's always a little like, do I really, like, this last 24 hours has been so amazing. And I don't want to, like, paint, it's like this beautiful picture. At first, I've never gotten to get off drugs, but it felt like I was getting off drugs. I mean, literally, like, I remember the first time I was meeting with my friend, Todd Thompson. I think he listens to this podcast. What's up, Todd? And I was meeting with him at a coffee shop. This is all pre-COVID. And I drove back to the coffee shop because I thought I forgot my phone, because I'm just so used to that weight in your pocket. I mean, it's just, it made me realize this thing is a part of us.
Yeah.
And so it was the first Friday I turned my phone off. But for me, it's been very helpful. Obviously, we are not saying everyone needs to turn your phone off. But the vacations was cool. I love doing that. I love doing extended times away from social media. But over the last, like, I guess six or seven, I guess this year, so we're going on 8 months now, turning my phone completely off on Friday has been such a gift. My kids know it now. It's like a thing. Like, Dad's phone's off. He's here. And if there's emergencies, there's ways to get a hold of me, of course. But it's been huge. I saw this quote in this book that I read this year that I thought was really cool. Microsoft did a survey that said 77% of young adults said, quote, when nothing is occupying my attention, the first thing I do is grab my phone. And that was me. Like, there was never a time when I was bored. Like, it was like, if there's a moment of lull, I pick up my phone and start scrolling. Mm. And it's been really cool, at least one day a week. Maybe eventually I'll get to two or three, but it's been really cool just to completely unplug. So maybe for you, it's turn it off for a season, like Vance mentioned. Maybe for you, it's turn it off for a day. I know your daughter right now is on a year-long social media fast.
Yeah.
And I know right now somebody's hearing that and going, no way. I'm sure Hannah thought that. But I'm sure she is all the better for it. She's not bummed out. She's missing out on all the craziness that's going on right now.
No doubt about it. And I know a lot of our listeners are leaders, and like, I so respect what my daughter has done in this year long Sabbath from social media. I don't really have that option,
totally.
You know, as a leader, with some of the responsibilities I have, particularly in being an author and having a publisher. And so there are things that don't allow me the privilege to do that. But that doesn't mean you can't do what you're doing, and build in some healthy ways to take many Sabbaths away so that, again, I'm driving my usage of social media, and social media is not driving my life. So I think that's super important. Scott, another thing I've heard you say that I wanted you to speak to just briefly is this comparison of the physical and the digital. And I just thought you had a great insight and particularly a great line that I think our listeners would appreciate. So what would you say about that?
Yeah, just the tip is physical is greater than digital. We kind of live in this digital world where we have all these friends and all these followers. And for me, I got to a place where I was honestly neglecting the physical family, friends, people in real flesh and blood. For the sake of the digital, which can be sort of fringe and kind of ambiguous. And so the kind of line that God convicted me, and I'll kind of tell the story of just a minute, but the line kind of God gave me, I guess, probably a couple years ago now, is the people in my family are more important than the people in my feed. Like, I remember one day, it was when we only had three kids, and we were wrestling on the floor. Dad got home. It was that moment where Dad's home, we're wrestling. And there was like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, there was like a 15-second lull in the playtime, and I have little kids all under 10, so it was like a total like family wrestle sesh, and I just grab my phone and start scrolling Instagram. Here I am with these three beautiful kids, my wife's hanging out with us, and I'm scrolling Instagram, and my son, he was probably 8 at the time, he goes, Dad, what are you doing on your phone? And it was just one of those moments where you just got punched in the gut. You're like, Look at what I have here, and I'm caring about, you know, whatever my friend just posted on his story. And I just saw at that moment, and God did some work in my heart there, that the people in my family are more important, or the friends in my life are more important than the people in my feed. Not that those people aren't important, not that you can't engage with them, but the reality is physical is always better than digital. That is, I mean, there's the community aspect of what we see in God's word, you can get that digitally, and we're feeling that right now, Vance. This idea of physical is greater than digital, this season of not being able to meet physically as a church, everyone is feeling this. There's just something about being in the same room with your brothers and sisters. And so that's a tip. Like, just remember that the physical, real life relationships are always better, as awesome as the digital ones might be, than your digital relationships.
So that's three we've mentioned so far under the tips for managing this. We've gone set time limits. You need to go in and figure out ways to do that. Number two, turn it off. Understand and learn rhythms and ways to establish some digital Sabbath where you get some time, whether that's extended periods, weekly rhythm, whatever that looks like. Then number three, I think Scott just said it well, physical is greater than digital always. And I love that line about the people in your family are more important than the people in your feed. And it's just such a deeply convicting reality that sometimes we give more priority to those people in our feed than the ones in our own family. And just such a good word. So here's the last tip. Realize the highlight reel. And here's what we mean by that. All of us, myself, Scott included, we only post our absolute top 10 best moments on social media. So when you're looking at somebody's social media feed, you are seeing their complete highlight reel. And the temptation is you compare somebody else's highlight reel to the lowest moments of your daily experience. And you can look at, you know, this couple sitting up on a mountain overlooking a beautiful sunset, and you just came out of an argument with your spouse over the checkbook or over something to do with managing the household. And you can think, man, they got it so much better than I have it. But again, you're seeing their highlight reel. And you just have to remember that and know that, because the danger is in comparison. When we begin to compare what somebody else has to what we have, that can lead to all kinds of wrong heart motivations and heart intentions. But it can get especially whack when we're making that comparison to somebody else's highlight reel and not even apples to apples.
Yeah, you made the statement about comparing highlight reels. I've heard it said, we compare others' highlight reels to our blooper reels. Like,
that's a great word.
We are looking, I mean, and when's the last time you saw a picture of somebody's house after the kids have destroyed it after lunch and there's dishes overflowing the sink? No, everyone's house is perfectly in order. And honestly, it's gotten to the point now where people like will set a scene perfectly to get that right shot. And again, this isn't like a rebel against social media. It's just, that's the tip, is to realize it. Like, realize you're looking at somebody's best effort. Just like when I put a picture on, or Vance puts a picture on, we're putting our best effort forward. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But it gets wrong when you start comparing your real life to somebody's highlight reel. So, man.
Scott, usually even when you think about it, you're even getting the highlight of the highlight reel. Because what usually happens with somebody's picture on social media, they've probably taken five pictures of that same highlight reel scene and picked the best of the five pictures of the highlight.
And then edited it.
100%. Filtered it up.
Yeah. So it looks amazing.
Absolutely.
So those are some tips on managing time with the tool. Set time limits. Turn it off. Physical is greater than digital. Realize the highlight reel. I know this has been very practical, and we're hoping that that is the case. But before we close, it's been a longer episode. I just had a couple other things that I want Vance to speak to that I think are really important, specifically when it comes to leaders in on social media. And so, Vance, hit those last couple points just as kind of we put a bow on it today.
Yeah, one of the questions, Scott, that we've gotten is how do you handle criticism on social media? And I guess the simple answer to that is you don't. Don't handle criticism on social media. The Scripture's given us a way to handle that kind of stuff in Matthew chapter 18. We go to a brother or sister in private if there's someone that is attacking or criticizing you personally. Now, I'm not talking about never making a public statement about something that's in the public realm. It is appropriate at times to make public statements on social media about something that is of public opinion. I'm not trying to silence that, but I'm saying when somebody's coming at you personally and it's a personal critique or criticism, there's a biblical way to handle that. And Matthew 18 says you go in private, and if you can solve it there, you've won your brother or your sister. And I read an article that Rick Warren wrote last year called Let God Be Your Defender. And here's a quote from the article. Rick says, when you are misunderstood, you're going to have a tendency to get in there and defend yourself. When you're attacked, your first reaction is often to attack back, just like the rest of us. When people criticize you, you want to criticize back. When people insult you, you want to insult them back. Don't do it. Let God be your defender. Every time you are under attack, criticized, put down, or misunderstood, you have two choices. You can defend yourself, or you can let God defend you. Which will it be? Who do you think can do a better job of defending you? God can. Then Rick said this. Pay attention to this. You're most like Christ when you say nothing in the face of attack, lies, and unfair criticism. You're most like Jesus when you remain silent and leave it in God's hands. So, leaders, there is nothing of value going to happen out of you handling and responding to criticism on social media. Secondly, I think we should all establish some accountability on social media because there's all the direct messages, there's the private chats, all that stuff that can take place. So I've personally invited three people into my life that have every password for every social media account that I have, and I know that they are regularly on those accounts. So they're getting on there, they're looking. So here's what I know. I know that anything I do on there can easily be seen by other people. And I just want to invite that kind of accountability into my life and would encourage you as a leader to do the same thing.
And again, if you're hearing that and you're thinking, I don't know how to do that, again, you can just literally do what Vance does. Like, give your passwords to people and ask them to regularly check in on your direct messages or who you're following. And so there's really easy, what would seem like intense ways to keep yourself accountable. But again, we would say it's wisdom. And so, man, we rapid fired for about 33 minutes today, Vance. But hopefully it was very encouraging for you. I know everyone, we've gotten a lot of messages and talk about doing an episode on social media. So I'm really excited for you to get this content. We talked about how to use the tool, just some really practical tips, and then how to manage time with the tool. So we're excited. Hope you're enjoying your summer. We will be back to kick off the fall in September on the Vance Pittman Leadership Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Thanks again for joining us for the Vance Pittman Leadership Podcast. You can find all the show notes on your favorite podcasting app or at hopechurchonline.com/podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any upcoming episodes. We will be releasing a new episode on the first Monday of every month to help you and your teams lead like never before.